Thank you, choir. Natalie Sleeth is one of my favorites. Let's read the scripture lesson for today from the Old Testament, as printed in your bulletin. Psalm 118, 14 through 29. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. Victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous to our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
First of all, I hadn't heard Avery and Marsh for a long time, so thank you for that. I invite those who are able to stand as I read the gospel from John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Listen for the word of God. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you will have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I attended an event called Can We Talk? Moving from Discord to Dialogue, a town meeting on civility in public discourse. It was hosted by the Ohio Civility Commission and the Chief Justice Thomas J. Moyer Legacy Committee. We heard from government officials about the importance of talking and working with one another across the aisles, Democrat to Republican and vice versa. Today, our politics are wracked with name-calling, the dumbing down of other candidates, and dividing people. Racism, immigration issues, the powers that be, violence, and unwillingness to be civil in disagreement are scary to me. In our society, there is the fear of the unknown. Someone who is Muslim, someone who is living in poverty or is homeless, someone who lives under a bridge, someone who looks different, someone of another color or skin. Building walls and the scapegoating of ethnic and religious groups has become too familiar today. Every single day, we're told not to be afraid, and particularly from this scripture. But we are afraid. Crime rates, unemployment, terrorism, isolation, we are a people that live in fear. It's there, even though we may not acknowledge it. We're told to fear ISIS. We're reminded that we're on the brink of nuclear war with an untold number of countries. We're told to be afraid of immigrants. We're afraid of sickness. We're afraid of loss. We're told to be afraid of the wealthy. We're afraid of what we lack. We're afraid of our failures. We're afraid of our past. We're afraid of each other. The rise of Donald Trump in American politics speaks to the depth and influential nature of our national and international fear. We're a people afraid, and that fear has trapped us. Like the disciples in those early moments after Jesus' death, we've locked ourselves in an upper room, waiting for the other shoe to drop. Aung San Suu Kyi, political activist, prisoner, and winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, said it plainly and truly when she said, "The only real prison is fear, and the only real freedom is freedom from fear." Like those early disciples, we are well aware of fear and the prisons we lock ourselves in. Fear, says German Chancellor Angela Merkel, has never been a good advisor. Growing up in the former East Germany, she knows a thing or two about fear. She knows a thing about its seductive and destructive powers. But in the Gospel of John, the narrator speaks of the fear of the Jews, which demands critical interpretation. And according to one theologian, the Johannine community understands itself to be a persecuted religious minority, and the Jews is shorthand for that bitter intra-Jewish struggle. You and I just tend, because we're human, to distance from something we are not familiar with. We may very much be like Thomas in this scripture reading today. We yearn for God's presence. We want clear indications that God is with us no matter what. We too want to see Jesus' hands. We want proof. We want that reality to be right there in front of us. Thomas believes in data-driven conclusions, the proof. And I think we do too. Is God real? Is God present in our suffering? Does God exist in the midst of pain, injustice, and doubt? This text forces us to subject the rhetoric of fear to the counter-testimony of the stranger in our midst. This text turns everything upside down for us. Think, for example, of the peaceful witness of Rose Hamid, the Muslim woman ejected from a Trump rally, or perhaps the image of a uniformed police officer in Washington, D.C., breaking up a group of teenagers, not with coercion, but with dance. As people of faith, we claim the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the tomb every Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And this was written so that we may believe. These stories have been handed down to us so that we may enter into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This isn't about a fairy tale that comes to a nice ending on Resurrection Sunday. This is about life and death for us. When you and I accept the reality of Jesus rising from the dead, then we begin to have a living relationship with God. This is a relationship that not even death can bring to an end. For most of us, resurrection is a stamp of salvific security, not a vision of relationship and community here and now. If I have to make resurrection so that you have to believe, or be assured of, or convinced, the resurrection then loses its relational power. At the end of the day, resurrection can't only be about eternal life in the future. It can't sound like some lofty and abstract heavenly promise, a reservation for a room or mansion in after passing through the pearly gates. Resurrection has to be the promise of abundant life with God now and forever. That's salvation for John. Relationship with Jesus, with God, here and now. So resurrection is relationship. A relationship that will never be broken, that will never be abandoned, that will never know separation, and will forever be. So do you and I think this is just kind of the pie in the sky promise? Let's pause and think about how much a relationship that will never end might mean. We live for and exist in relationships that are not life-giving, that are on the brink of dissolving, that will end, most certainly because of every fault or no fault of our own. Think about the relationships that have changed over time, that can't go back to the way they were, that need to change, but maybe can't in the end. And maybe that's okay. We exist in tension and frustration and grief because we're not sure how to handle an acceptable demise or how to negotiate what this means for our relationships today and into the future. Think about relationships that have ended too soon by terrorist acts, the ruthlessness of illness, the not-so-random events of nature's reaction to environmental complacency, the sudden separations not planned, never anticipated, and so devastating for whatever reason or cause. You see, sisters and brothers in Christ, our lives exist in and are known through and defined by broken relationships. But it is not so with our relationship with God. This is the truth. This is the grace. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. The point of God's revealed self in the Word made flesh, the Word crucified, the Word resurrected, and the Word ascended is the commitment like no other to show what true relationship means for us. Resurrection is relationship. So are we living the identity we proclaim as children of the living God? What is our mission? How were we created to live with one another? Marcia has been my best friend since eighth grade, about 45 plus years. She has been through thick and thin with me. We have learned to accept one another no matter what. We tell each other things that we tell no one else. We pick up where we left off. She lives in California. We don't have to explain something to the other. We are there for each other. Her daughters are my nieces. I have no other relationship like this, but I hope that my relationship with the living God is like this. Throughout Scripture, it is God's desire to restore justice, harmony, and peace in our world. And we are invited into that dynamic partnership with God in order to do this. We were created to be together with community and with one another, sharing life together, forgiving one another, and inviting each other into the kingdom of God. So fear short circuits this calling. We stop seeking justice, fighting for reconciliation, and advancing the kingdom of God. But that's the mystery of our faith. When it comes to resurrection faith, our faith is not by sight. So God gives us the chance to be blessed according to the last of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who can't be absolutely sure. Blessed are they who believe the hearsay. Blessed are the eyes of faith that continue in hope despite the frustrations and ambiguities. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. The reality, changing our perception, sisters and brothers, is that you and I are called to live our lives differently because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that means that we think differently, we accept people no matter what, we create ways of learning and understanding one who is not like us. We live our daily life without grudges, without a chip on our shoulder, without scapegoating another. We view with a different lens, one that opens new opportunities, one that leads us on a journey that does not fear anything. This is easier said than done. But we have each other. And when one of us is down, the community rallies around and carries that one. When one experiences dreadful disease, the community gathers around and carries that one. When we have no words in our grief, the community gathers around. You and I are to be there for one another. May you this day be in a relationship with our living God that leads you to your daily life, in your daily life, to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ that shows others that you are loving, kind, generous, patient, forbearing, and have self-control. Live each day as the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is in your life. Thanks be to God. Amen.